So this is a little bit different for us.
Yeah.
Because we're going to pass the torch off for this special bonus episode of R2C2 to give people insight into something else cool that's happened at the Players Tribune. See, Paul Pierce is doing this three-episode series called My Generation, where he sits down talking.
Which is my generation.
Is it your generation? Well, I guess Pierce is your generation.
Yeah, Pierce, Shaq, and Baron Davis. And Oscar Robinson I knew about, you know, but.
And Paul is talking to all three of those guys, mm-hmm. just sitting down having conversations about how the game is the same, how it's different, what bothers them. Do you as a vet, do you think this, even as an NBA fan, when you're watching games, do you think, man, I miss like this from the league?
I miss a lot of different stuff. Yeah? I mean, too many technicals right now. It's kind of soft. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody wants to puff up their chest, but nobody throws punches and shit. So it'd be great to hear what these guys have to say.
You want to see, like, you want to see that kind of bad boy piston stuff.
I want to see Shaq swinging on Charles Barkley. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see that type of shit.
Well, you know what? It is, when you go back, I mean, all you have to do is watch the 30 for 30 Bad Boy Pistons to appreciate what MJ had to go through to get to where he got.
Yeah.
They beat the crap out of him. And it wasn't tease. It was, you know, two shots. I mean, it was totally different.
Yeah.
However, what I love about the game today is it's so athletically pleasing now.
Right.
Because of the space that's created and because it's not bogged down physically like that.
Well, Giannis just jumped over Tim Hardaway in the game. And that was that. Like,
that was crazy.
Freaks in this game right now.
That was crazy. But you and I, we're big fans of those kind of interesting conversations.
Yeah.
And if you go to PlayersTribune.com, you're going to be able to see Paul's conversations, listen to Paul's conversations with Oscar Robertson, with Baron Davis, and with Shaq. But we thought as a little bonus episode of R2C2, especially since it's similar to the vein of what we're trying to do, mm-hmm. we'd have you guys take a listen in. So here it is, Paul Pierce with Shaq. You ready?
Yes.
Previously on My Generation.
We're here with the big O, Oscar Robinson. What do you think is the greatest era of basketball?
I think it's Kareem and Shaq came in, Olajuwon, all those great, great
centers. The big man era.
I mean, they really dominated a lot of things. You know, when I played, owners would blackball you.
Yeah.
For instance, if you were on a team, say you played 10 years and they cut you, they wouldn't let you go anywhere else.
Wow.
They had that power. And we just felt that was wrong because we felt if you did not have a contract with a team, you should be able to go somewhere else. And that's why the Oscar Robertson rule came about. You can't let guys get into that shooting position.
Right.
Make them take another dribble and get on top of those guys. Overplay them. I couldn't have played. I'll tell you why. Because I wouldn't get out of anybody's way when they drive him to the basket. Guys, he wasn't going to run over me.
I consider myself a lot of things. A father, a son, a brother, an NBA champion, a 10-time All-Star, and to quote Shaquille O'Neal,
can I curse on this? That motherfucker is the truth.
But the one thing I'm not is a hater. I've played in the NBA for 19 years, spanning three separate decades. I've seen a lot. I've changed a lot since I was a rookie back in 98. Look, I don't want to be the old guy on his lawn yelling at kids, but I just have to come clean for a minute. Something's not the same in today's league.
Man, you get $100 million for having 7 points.
So that's why I've been talking to other NBA vets about what's good and what's not so good about today's game.
When I played, the centers always stayed in front of the basket.
Right.
So you didn't hardly get any layups. When I played with Kareem, he didn't switch on my man.
Each conversation is different, but in all of them, we talk about what the NBA is, what the NBA was, and what it all means. We had laughs. I think we came up with some pretty good insight, but full disclosure, there will be grumpy old man talk just to win.
You know what I watch when the games come on? Maury Povich.
I'm Paul Pierce, and this is My Generation. Let's go.
You know what I watch when the games come on? Maury Povich. Maury Povich, How to Get Away with Murder. And what's the other one I watch? The Walking Dead. Like, as soon as the game come on, I just go to my DVD recorder thing, I just start watching that. Like, it ain't nothing to watch to me. But yeah, we hating. You got Shaq and you got the truth, but we hating. That shit don't even sound right sometimes.
1990s basketball had it all. Flair, rivalries, nicknames. In fact, This guy doesn't even need an intro. But I'm having trouble choosing what nickname to call him because he's got so many. We'll get into that later. So for now, let's just go with my personal favorite name of his, the Big Diesel. Let's talk a little bit about our Boston days. This is my favorite story.
I would come to the bench. I would just come to the bench, and I just remember sitting next to Diesel, and I always had to sit like this, because he would sit there just like this with his pads on, sitting high, legs wide open, taking up three seats. And so you have Kev on one side doing like this, and me on the other side. We had no room on the bench for the big fella, but what we gonna say, that's the big fella. So you, if you ever watch a game, you see us all on the bench, we sitting like this. And that's the story I always tell people, like, man.
I wanted to help them get one more. Like, when I went up there, it wasn't about me still being a Diesel, just about me protecting them. Like, we was waiting to face LeBron and them in the playoffs. We was waiting for them. Like, we had a good year. I think we were number one in the conference. We was waiting. Then I had the career and the injury. But my job was to just rebound, block shots, and knock people on the ass. Like, you know, whenever guys used to go up Paul and them, I just always used to tell Paul, let them go.
Let them, send them this way.
Yeah, let them go. I'm a old school style, touch them up. So, you know, I don't like to always say if or what if, but I think if we wouldn't have got hurt, I think once we would have got to the finals, I think Paul and them would have brought it home. But we was waiting for Cleveland because LeBron's my boy, but I was going to touch his ass up every time he came to lane. Seriously. And, you know, D-Wade and them was my boy, but every time they came to lane, I was going to touch his ass up. Like, I remember when I first started doing it and people was like, man, you're going to get fined. To me, getting fined is just like tax. Just like tax. Like, you know, me and Paul was making big money, but living out in California, when you look at that motherfucker, FICA gonna get this cut, the state gonna get their cut, and it's just like tax. So you find me 10, 20,000, it's tax. Just take it. You know, you're already taking, you know, 50% of my money anyway. So just so like, I never let that you know deter me. Like, I take pride in being in 19 years only being dunked on one time. Derek Coleman got me with a nasty left. But my boy Vince Carter tried to dunk on me, and I had to lay him on his back one time. I did. I laid him down on his back real hard. And he said, why you do that? I said, you're not dunking on me. And then the next play down, he got Alonzo Mourning. Yeah, he got him nasty. Yeah, you remember that? Yeah, so, but, you know, he just got to touch people up.
You know, I guess what the biggest difference to me is the physical play, the lack of positions. What's the difference in today's modern day players to say like 10 or 15 years ago?
Basically, what you're saying and what everyone else is saying is that the league has become soft, and I definitely agree with that. From a position standpoint, big man standpoint, that's probably my fault. What I mean by that, when I was in high school, it was all about being physical down low.
Right.
So I was the master of physicality, and probably the young guys that were watching me was like, I don't think I could battle with the Diesel, but I could shoot this jumper like Kevin Garnett.
Right,
I could
right.
face up like Tim Duncan. I could stretch the floor like Dirk. So we have more European-style bigs now. And, you know, as far from your position, I don't see a lot of guys that have your skills. When we were growing up, every team had somebody on the team that was like a go-to guy, you know, somebody right. that was well-respected. Now it's only two or three teams. Like, I get kind of disappointed there when they say who's the best players in the league. Because, like, when I was in high school, we had a range of people.
Right.
I don't know. It could be Mike. It could be Dominique. It could be Clyde. It could be Akeem. It could mm-hmm. be Ewan. It could be Robinson. Now, for the past 5 years, it's the same four and five names that you hear. And I'm like, I'm tired. Like, you know, somebody else step up. The guy that I'm really impressed with, and I think he could have played with us, is Kawhi Leonard. Because he started with no name. And he worked his way up like you're supposed to work, like you worked, like I worked, to make a name for ourselves. When Paul and I came in, we were just, you know, young guys, and it was still a couple guys that were ahead of us. But the truth did what he had to do to surpass them. I did what I had to do to surpass those guys. But even though I work for TNT, to be truthfully, if Golden State ain't playing Cleveland or Houston ain't playing OKC or somebody ain't playing somebody, I ain't really watching.
There's not a lot of players that I look at and say, I want to watch this guy play.
Me
you know,
either.
Whereas, like, in the early 2000s, it was like, man, I can't wait to see Kobe and Shaq. I can't wait to see Vince put a show on Tracy McGrady, Steve Francis, White Chocolate. It was so much flair to the game. And it's just, it seems like that's missing. It's just like,
it's
guys.
It's gone. There's only one or two players that have that flair.
Yeah.
Like, I like watching Golden State to see what Steph Curry is going to do next. Uh-huh. He's a player I don't think I've really seen before.
Right.
But the ironic thing about that is if we would have tried that back in our day, they probably would have put us on the bench. You know, playing for the guys that we play for, I don't think they really would approve that.
If you're making shots, he makes a lot of bad shots.
He does make a lot of bad shots. Right.
But he makes them.
Yeah, he does make them.
But like I said, what do you think about the lack of nicknames? I mean, there's no, like I said, the flair is gone. The rise of nicknames are gone. I mean, what do we call Westbrook? What do we call Durant? What do we call Kyrie?
I think James is trying to get these guys nicknames. You know, a nickname has to come from your play. Being and living in LA, always heard about you, but I never seen you.
Right.
And then one time y'all played the Lakers and you gave it to us. And that's when I said, that motherfucker is the truth. I said, what do you mean?
I said, listen, Paul Pierce,
that motherfucker just gave it to us. He is the truth. And that nickname stuck. I gave Big Ticket his nickname. And Tim Duncan was like a guy, you know, he wasn't really fancy. Like, he did everything fundamentally sound. Right. That's why I called him the Big Fundamental. So, like, I be trying to get these new guys nicknames, but they're a little too inconsistent for me to give them nicknames. I called Kawhi Sugar K. Leonard, but it didn't stick. They was like, why you call him Sugar K? I said, because his motherfucking game is sweet. I'm sweet when he play. But it really didn't stick. It's just a different game. And another crazy thing is when veterans like us say something, we hating.
Right.
We hating on them. We don't know what we're talking about. We just want the product to be better than it was for us. I mean, because when we came in and Mike and Barkley and them passed it to us, we had to hold the fort down. That's what we want these young guys to do.
Because of the players these days are so worried about their brand that's changing how the players play. They're more individualized. They're worried about the big contract, and it's taken away from the competitive spirit of the game, the wanting to go at each other, because people are so worried about their brand. How does that come into play when you talk about the spirit of competition in the game?
A lot of people don't understand that everyone is not a brand. And that's just the unfortunate part about this business. You have to let the people decide if you're a brand or not.
Right.
I think the ones that try to force people saying I'm a brand never really works. But once people like see you and they want more of you, then the brand starts to develop a little bit, and then you master it. And you're right, it is taken away from the game, because a lot of guys who want to be big time that are not really big time, you know, they're doing stuff that's thinking they're the main guys on the team. You know, when I was growing up, it was only two or three guys that were selling. And, you know, it's still the same thing. Like, when I go in the store now, I see LeBron, of course. I see KD. I see Steph. And I see Harden. And that's it.
Right.
Those are the only people I see. So all these other guys that are trying to get their followers up and doing that, I don't know what they're doing, because everybody's not going to be a brand. That's just the unfortunate part.
I think social media has really changed it to where everybody thinks they're a star.
I got to understand.
It's changing the game, definitely.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. People don't understand. Like, you ain't going to put nothing bad on social media. You know, like, if you have a game and you go 3 out of 30, but you hit 3 miraculous shots, that's the only thing you're going to show. So when people look at it, oh, man, you see that 3 hit from the hash mark? Like your man, LaMelo Ball, 92.
Cherry-picked to 92 points.
You know, but you know, the way they put it out, like, whoa, my man had 92 points.
Right.
But, like, when I did all my research going back, like, yeah, that man cherry-picked, he got 92. I'm not knocking him, but I'm just saying, you know, the way they marketed it, oh, California kid gets 92 points. So.
Right.
You know, these people know how to edit it to make themselves look good. But it's also a dangerous thing, because, you know, be careful what you ask for, really.
Be careful what you ask for.
Everybody wants to be a star and everybody wants to do this, but when you go get something to eat and they're taking pictures of you, then, you know, this is what you want.
Spirit of competition is what's lost. There's no more rivalries. There's no one talking like, hey, I want to go at him like... When I matched up with LeBron, it wasn't, I'm not friends right now. I want to go at you. I want to beat you. When Shaq matched up against David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, he's trying to go at them. It's not like, or Bird matched up with Magic. They going at each other. Now, these guys, they go to the Olympics, they become friends, They all want to play each other, form a super team. Instead of one guy trying to be one of the greats, he wants to play with his boy. This is my boy now, you know, and let's play together. You know, you didn't see that 10 years, 20 years ago, 30 years. These guys was trying to take each other, rip each other's heads off to get to the top. Now they want to bring each other to the top.
And I agree with that. To me, the best era was the era before we came in. Because that's the era that defined us, me and Paul sitting there, to me. The era with Mike versus Dominique in the slam dunk contest, Magic versus Bird. All right, Bird starting to fade out. Magic versus Scott, Isaiah. All right, Isaiah beat him. Now it's Isaiah versus Mike. Who's going to beat Mike? Damn, the young cats out of Orlando, they beat Mike. Oh, shit, Mike came back and won three more. Oh, damn, the Spurs. So that era, to me, was the best. And, you know, the era before that was good, too, but I kind of came into that era late. You know, Spencer Haywood, when I first met him, me and him got into, like, an argument. He asked me if I knew who he was, and I didn't. And he kind of jumped on me. He said, you need to learn history. But my response to him was, listen, I didn't have a TV. First time I saw a basketball player was The Fish to Save Pittsburgh, Dr. J. That's when I started playing Pittsburgh, when I saw that movie. So I wasn't watching games, and I wasn't studying you players because I wanted to be a rapper any goddamn way. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, I caught on to Dr. J late. Like, I was like, ooh, and then Magic. I had this guy who was a white guy. He was Larry Bird, and I was Magic Johnson. We used to, you know, I had the yellow and purple Converse weapons. He had the green and white ones. So, you know, to be like them, we used to act like them. So, to me, that was our favorite era.
I'm going to go ahead and say the same thing, because what really got me into basketball was the Magic and Bird rivalries. I mean, they set the tone on what I want to be. You know, I grew up in Inglewood, wanted to be like Magic. You know, hated the Celtics. It's crazy that I played for the Celtics. You know, like Shaq said, that kind of set the tone to what made me want to go into basketball.
No, when I say Jordan and them gave us the game, we didn't have meeting. They said the game is yours. They showed us how it is to play, how to respect yourself, you know, how to build your brand, how to dominate, and how to win championships. And we took that, and we did that, and that's what we're leaving for these guys. But the only one that's still doing it the right way, that's because he learned from us, is LeBron. But after he leaves, I'm going to be definitely scared for the league. When he's gone, this league going to be in trouble. Maybe guys like Ben Simmons will catch on, and Joel Embiid and those guys, but I don't know yet. I'm not seeing it yet.
If I'm the commissioner, the way the game is going, I may have to move the three-point line back, you know, to discourage, like, everybody thinks they're Steph Curry now.
Everybody.
You know, everybody, you know, you got the one, the two, the three, the four, and the five shooting threes. So I would want to push the line back and maybe widen the lane, maybe a little bit. You know, I want to bring back the big man game. I want to bring back, you know, getting easier shots, you know. So, I mean, I know fans want a faster paced game. That's fine. But, you know, I want to bring back the higher field goal percentage. Just like, you know, you watch a game, it's like brick after brick after brick. It's like guys shooting three after three after three. I mean, it's just, I think that's the two things I would do. I would try to bring back the skill of the post player to make the game a lot easier.
If I was commissioner for a day, I would have no salary cap, but with player restrictions. For example, if we give you $150 million and you play like you're worth $150, it's cool. But if you don't, we start taxing your ass. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, whatever your contract is, if you don't perform up to par, we start taxing you. And that'll get guys to, you know, start to, you know, step their game up a little bit. You know, there's a lot of guys making money that I don't like to hate on these guys, but shit.
Well, there you have it. You heard from the big Aristotle, the big Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal, giving you his thoughts on the game. It's good to have you, big fella.
Nice to see you.
Hey, good to see you again.
Next on My Generation.
One of the great NBA players, Baron Davis from Los Angeles, California.
Chris Paul, to me, is like point guard. You can't even put him in the top 10 because he's already
He's proven himself. I only think that there's 5-6 good teams in the league now, and everybody else, like the mediocre, is not good. Remember, you used to fight for like that one game placement and all that, and right now it's just like, we know who's going to be in the conference finals. We know who's going to be in the finals. Like, you can pretty much predict it every year. If I was commissioner, I would make the lottery a tournament. You ain't going to be terrible all year and get all the golf balls. Nah, hell nah.
ThePlayersTribune.com